I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage I just read to you is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. And this passage is written by St. Paul when he's from within prison. And he's been put in prison because the people who don't like him don't want him to preach the gospel. They don't want him to teach faith in Christ and try to lead people to a life of holiness. And he managed to write this letter from the prison, and we have it here today, nearly 2,000 years later. And for me, that alone is proof that the Word of God is not chained. It cannot be stifled. No matter how hard they tried to stop his teaching, we have it today. And it's in our Bibles, we hear it in our churches, it's proclaimed on the internet, and it's proof to me that if you are faithful to Christ, you're going to win. And if you oppose Christ and you try to fight his teaching, you're going to lose. St. Paul is a good example of no matter how much they fought against him, more and more the teaching of Christ was spread through his witness and through his word. And this small passage from his letter to the Ephesians is kind of a simple message where he's telling us basically to live the gospel. He wants us to live in love and unity. And later on in the letter, he tells us that we have to turn away from sin, specifically from greed and from impurity. And the key to his teaching is when he refers to the fact that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One baptism. Now, baptism is the key to understand this call to live the gospel. It's a very simple message that St. Paul is giving to us. When we're baptized, we're brought into this relationship to the Most Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And attached to our baptism is a pledge to live a certain way of life. And that way of life is to renounce the spirit of evil, to turn away from sin, and to fight against sin in our own lives, and to be faithful to living for God's kingdom. Further on in this letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul warns us about spiritual ignorance or hardness of heart. When we become insensitive to the things of God and insensitive to the Christian spiritual life. And this hardness of heart comes to us from, above all, from unrepented sin. When we don't live our baptismal promises, we develop a spiritually hardened heart. Now, all of us have this call to live our baptism in a way worthy of Christ. So, what is this call that we're given? The call that we're given in our baptism is to live for the kingdom of heaven, is to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus, is to live for the kingdom of God. And we live in a manner worthy of this call by our words, not only our words, but how we say them, by our actions, our desires, our priorities, our relationships, and so forth. It's our manner of life. And the Apostle Paul is calling us to think about this great call that we all have as disciples of Christ, to live in a way differently than just for this world only, but for God's kingdom in heaven, for eternal reward, for friendship with Christ and all the angels and the saints. And if we are faithful to Christ, if we live in a way worthy of this call, it's really good. In a way, it's like we help to lift up the whole church. You know, the thing is that the church is one body. It's really one family of grace. And when one of us does not live in a way worthy of our call from God, the whole church suffers. It's like when part of your body is in pain or sick, your whole body suffers. But when one of us lives in a way worthy of the call, we live a life of holiness, in a way somehow that affects the whole church, and we lift the church up, that we lift up people to a higher level We lift them up to communion with the Trinity. And when we don't live in a way worthy of this call, that's a big problem. And actually, this is one of the biggest problems in the church. When you have people who are members of the church who call themselves Christian, but they do not live in a way worthy of this calling of Christ, the whole church suffers. And the whole church suffers even if nobody knows about their failure to live in a way worthy of the gospel. Now, unfortunately, this call of St. Paul to live in a way worthy of the call we have received is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. Many of us in the church now are anguished by the revelations of a bishop, a retired bishop who was from Washington, who is accused of all kinds of bad deeds. He was recently removed from the College of Cardinals because of what he's done. And it's very, very discouraging. And I have to tell you that as a priest, I've been a priest for nearly 14 years, and it's really hard. It really weighs us down. We priests, we feel angry. We also feel almost conflicted, because as priests, we are public and official representatives of the church, and yet it seems that the organization we represent has failed in such a really horrible way. And it's almost like some of us wonder, why do we keep having to represent an organization that seems to be not being faithful to this call of the gospel? And I remember a talk from Pope Francis once. He said there were three kinds of people in the church. There were the saints, the sinners, and the corrupt. And saints are what we want to be. Our Lady and the saints, we want to be a life, live a life of holiness. We want to be fully alive in Christ. Sinners are those who stumble along the way, who fail to live up to this call of the gospel. But the corrupt are those who willfully and freely and almost permanently, we seem to think, continue on this way away from Christ in the path of darkness and evil. St. Thomas Aquinas once said that it is far better to limp along the way of Christ than to stride along off the way. Well, the sinners are like those who limp along the way of Christ. They fall into some sin, but they fight it. They turn away from it, and they make great efforts to avoid the occasion of sin. This is probably most people in the whole church. The corrupt are those who stride along off the way of Christ. They don't care about the life of grace. They don't care about the commandments. They don't care about the wounds they cause to the whole church by their sinfulness. And they don't even think about repenting. And this seems to be the case of what is going on in the church with these revelations about bishops and priests. And it's really, really discouraging. And the thing is that not only is it discouraging, but it just brings back to our mind all of the corruptions that have afflicted the church throughout the centuries. And what do I do when I'm confronted with stories of this real genuine corruption? Well, I think of this letter of St. Paul, where he puts everything, he puts the whole idea of living for God onto our baptism. There is one baptism. I remember a teaching from St. Louis de Montfort. He said that when there's trouble in the church, it's because people are not living their baptismal promises. The promise to believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, really, to live for the Most Holy Trinity, to turn away from sin, to refuse to be mastered by evil, to reject the spirit of evil. And when I hear all the stories about priests and bishops who seem to have run really fast off the way of Christ, I say to myself, they did not fail to live their calling to be priests and bishops. They failed to live their baptism. They failed to live their baptismal vows. They did not want to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus. You see, that's the thing. Sometimes people think that because I'm a priest, that's going to get me to heaven. And that's not true. It's only if I live my baptismal promises that I'll get to heaven. And I don't even think about my priesthood when I think about my own soul. I think about my baptism. I think that I have to live in a manner worthy of this call of my baptism, which comes from the Lord Jesus. And what is our response to these revelations of all of this corruption? Well, obviously is we get very angry. We feel a real just anger at what has been done, at the deception that was surrounding it. But you know, the worst part of it is not the revelation of it all and that we've heard about it. The worst part of it is that it was done. And that's what we have to see, that what it is a failure to live baptism, to live baptismal promises. So our response cannot just be anger. Our response has to somehow be pleasing to God, has to move us closer to the mystery of Christ. Our response has to be, we have to be more committed to live our baptismal promises. Because when we see people who fail to follow the Lord Jesus, our response cannot only be, well, they're horrible, look at them. Our response has to be to move our lives in the opposite direction. They didn't follow Jesus, so we will. That's how we're going to fight back. And we have to become more and more committed to being disciples of the Lord Jesus. That's the thing. Priests and bishops and religious and all members of the church have to see that living as followers of Christ is most important. Now, later on in this letter from St. Paul, he talks about a spiritual war. He says that our battle is not against people. It's not against the priests or the bishops who have done such horrible things. I don't even say that they failed to live the call. I say they chose to not live the call of Christ. Well, our battle is not against them. But the thing is, sometimes we feel that it is. We feel like, okay, I'm against that person. We get kind of self-righteous and say, I'm not like that person, and I'm totally against them, and I'm totally against the systemic corruption that allowed this stuff to go on for many years. St. Paul says our battle is not against people, but it's against the spirit of evil. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, he says, but against the fallen angels, the principalities and powers, the spiritual hosts of wickedness. And what we have to do is recognize that. Because if we don't, then we can fail to live in a way worthy of the cause. See, our baptism calls us to renounce the spirit of evil. So we've got to renounce the spirit of evil in our own lives. And we do this by living by the truth, by justice, by peace, by faith, by hope, and by prayer. There could be some sin that you probably think is not that big of a deal in your life. You got to turn against it. You got to fight it. Your response to the corruption you see in the world and in the church is to turn away from sin in your own life. You got to live a life of holiness heroically. We need heroes. We need heroes in the church and in the world, and that heroism is founded on living our baptism. And so, brothers and sisters, as we have this little message from St. Paul, let us see that it is very, very powerful message, very important. He's calling us to live our call, the call of our baptism, in a way worthy of the one who called us, Jesus Christ our Lord. May we fight this spiritual battle. May we stand up for what is true and good in our own lives and live on the path of holiness. And above all, to see that following Christ is the most important thing. And when we follow Christ, when we see that his path for us is the right path to be on, then we're on the path of victory. That no matter what sin and corruptions afflict the church, our discipleship of Christ is going to lift the church up and make things so much better. God bless you.